This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherie Zifford, only on 101.9 High FM.
The images coming out of the Sweda province of southern Syria regarding the massacre of the Druze community is horrific. The relationship between the Druze communities in Israel and Syria are extremely strong. In fact, their family. So it's not surprising then when Israel opened its border with Syria to allow Israeli Druze to go and fight with their brothers and sisters. Khalifa Khalifa is an Israeli Druze and host of Khalifa Shrugged and a Khalifa Shrugged podcast. And I'm delighted to have him as my guest now to tell me about what's happening. Khalifa, welcome and thanks again for joining me.
You're welcome, Cherise. It's always a pleasure. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Well, me in particular, I'm okay, but, you know, given the circumstances, there's one correction I wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Israel didn't allow the Druze community to come to Syria to fight for their brothers, but once the Druze community here in Israel saw what's happening with the Druze people in Syria, and saw that nobody in the media, nobody in the world is taking any consideration or any attention to what's happening. So our supreme spiritual leader, Sheikh Muwaffaq Tarif, basically said to the Druze people, go to the border and go fight with your brothers. It was like a mayday calling from everybody, and just to make Israel and the whole world to understand that we mean business. This is serious thing, and nobody is feeling or hearing or noticing our pain. So Druze people in Israel stormed to the border, opened the border, and went inside trying to go and fight with their Druze friends. Like the destination and everything was like it wasn't so, you know, practical doing that, but it was a desperate move trying to give some support to what's happening in Sweda.
So are you saying it was symbolic more than anything else?
No, because people stormed in and tried to go inside, and people, you know, grabbed everything they had and went inside and tried to relieve the pressure out of Sweda. But Sweda is deep in Syria, so if you don't go with tanks, artilleries, and the Druze community in Sweda faced not only an army, but also a lot of Bedouin militias and basically Turkey, which is moving all those proxies, trying, you know, to bend the arms of Israel, of the United States. So from one hand, they somehow calmed everybody. We have this guy, Thomas Barak, saying immediately all what's happening is he took the stance of the regime of Jolani, a former ISIS. Like a few months ago, this guy was an ISIS. He sent suicide bombers to do suicide attacks. And now he's like this Cinderella guy. Everybody loves him. Tom Barak is in love with him. So we are planning here in Israel a demonstration in front of the U.S. Embassy in Jerusalem. And I was thinking what kind of signs I will go. And I said, I would love to have a sign with that says Thomas Barak is ISIS asset. This is how it feels. This is how it goes. And this somehow, you know, paralyzing the whole world. Now the international media is coming in, but nobody talked about it. Not CNN, not nobody. None of the major media outlets did spoke about it. And this is what made us so furious and made us take these extreme actions.
Khalifa, I completely understand. Can you just describe for me the relationship between the Druze community and the Syrian community? Because I think it's a lot more complicated than people know it to be.
Well, before we dive into that, let me just give some numbers to people, because yesterday I was in the operation room. We, the Druze community, made an operation room to try to have a clear image of what is really happening in Sweden. We try to cross information from different sources to try to, because what happened, the scale is so large, so we need to take such measures and try to communicate with our brothers in Syria, saying that we are with them and try to bring some aid. So the idea is, in numbers, first of all, we have a province that is smells out of dead bodies. They still haven't cleared all the bodies from the place. Now we are talking about more than 3,000 dead counted so far, and unknown number of people who've been abducted, who is still missing, a lot of women who's been raped and killed and thrown to massive graves, not graves, they're like, you know, death sites. No electricity for 12 days, barely no communication. We are lacking short in the hospitals with, you know, minimum aids. Without the support of Israel, this place would collapse. So the image and we have entire villages wiped out. Nobody left. Nobody. Like, they killed everybody. They spared no one. Kids, elderly, sick, wounded, all of them are dead. So and we think that the number is gonna cross more than 5,000 people dead. And just to give an example, we are talking in October 7, we had 1,300 dead people in Israel and 251 abducted alive. So, and for a population in Israel of 10 million people, and now in Sweden it's 700,000 people. So just to give an like, it's like now like it's 20 or 30 times more October 7, and nobody's talking about it. So this is why the pain is so hard, because now we can talk about the relationship between us and our Druze family. We feel and know, like, we are a family. We're one big family. We have a unique aspects of our community, and all the Druze, no matter where we live, we still have a strong bond, especially between Israel and Syria, because we have families. Once the Golan Heights were Syrian, so a lot of Israeli citizens now were actually Syrians before. That's a first. And another thing, so even in the days of Bashar al-Assad, people here in Israel studied in Damascus. Druze people, they were the only people in Israel that could go to Syria and study in Damascus. A lot of dentists in Israel now studied there. They got their degree in Damascus University. We have families, deep bonds and ties with the community. As I said earlier in your show, that I have friends that live in Syria that I speak with more than I speak with my brothers and my sisters. This is how we have warm feelings to all those people and this community. So the relationship is very, very strong.
Khalifa, what is the situation among the Druze now in Syria?
It's disastrous. It's disastrous, and we feel violated, and we feel like we are having a second violation. Like we've been in general, we feel like we are raped on a daily basis, because not only that we had this ethnic cleansing genocide conducted upon us, the second thing is that the modern, or you know, the civilized world is taking the side of the jihadist, which is crazy. For me, it's like waking up in this nightmare, seeing that the whole world just fell in on its head and lost connection to what's happening. And you know, it's not that like we are, I'm trying to smear those jihadists. They are really, really proud on what they did. They had, and we have the recordings, they had clear commands: do not take films, do not record what you are doing, go and kill everybody. And still they are so savage, and they are so proud in their savagery, and you know, they are terrorists. So what is the good in terror if you cannot terrorize people with what you do? So they couldn't hold their urge to film and record and document what they did. And what they did is so horrific. You know, cutting heads for babies. We've seen the images. Raping 9-year-old girls. These kind of things that truly can shake your entire existence. And a couple weeks, you know, I always try to grasp what is happening. And day by day, we are revealing more and more and more. And it is stressful times, stressful indeed, because there's a lot of fake news involved in it. Because those jihadists, after what they did, they release videos of them doing wrongs on us and say, those are the Druze and this is what they are doing. And they're trying to, you know, steer, because they count on it that people don't really, you know, pay attention to details, and they don't care really what's happening. And they, you know, they want to have a clear image of black or white, and they know how to manipulate the information, and they have the support of the US, which is the craziest thing in the world. Because if Israel, if the United States cares about Israel, then it will know that those people shouldn't be close to Israel. And after they occupy Sweden, they will have no resistance holding to the borders of Israel. And they said, we're occupying Sweden now, but our destination is Jerusalem. They're coming for us. This is why we are trying to alarm everybody on what's happening.
Khalifa, we spoke earlier this week in the Right of Reply podcast, which anybody can see on the SAJBD Facebook page. And we spoke about, for example, the South African government's response to Israel bombing Syria and condemning Israel, not Syria. Do you feel that Israel has done enough?
Israel, I think that it did utmost efforts given the circumstances, because the Druze community, knowing, because they know Arabic more than anybody else, so they have a larger weight or importance compared to other communities in Israel. So we have a lot of influence on the security forces, on the IDF, on the Shabak, on the Mossad. Everybody, all of them has Druze, and some of them are very high-ranking officers. And you know, we had to fight the jihadists, and the decision of the U.S., because that's not only South Africa. And this alone would explain how bad the situation was, because Israel is totally dependent on the United States and saying, hey, you don't live here, we live here, and we must do this thing. And I think that The stupidity of the US made things much worse because this event could be preventable. You know, seeing the convoys of tanks, artillery, we could have somehow stopped that. But a lot of pressure was put on Israel, and she responded a bit later, I'm afraid. But the response was very strong, and this is why Israel had to bomb Damascus, because the people sitting in Damascus are cowards, you know, those Julani and everybody. And this did the effort, you know, it retreated the official powers, all the heavy machinery, and that gave the Druze people enough, you know, to confront the other militias, and that's alone. Although they are surrounded and they are outnumbered and outgunned, helped the Druze to push back. But even still, now there's a lot of villages that already been occupied by the Bedouins, and they declared that they created a new. It's called like it's Islamic states, you know. Wow. And Amir said this is a Islamic state province now and taking over villages. This is the situation now, I'm afraid. Sure. There's a lot of work to do to try to clean the province from all those jihadists, but they're still doing a lot of damage to the local people.
Khalifa, we have to leave it there, but thanks for joining me, and I look forward to our next chat. As you say, you have the Arabic, you speak the Arabic, you understand the region probably better than anybody else, and I mean the Druze family extends to Lebanon, Syria, and Israel, so I imagine your insights are absolutely spot on. Thank you for joining me, and I look forward to our next chat.
Thank you, and thank all the Chai FM audience. Thanks a lot.
That was Khalifa Khalifa, journalist, Israeli Druze, and host of the Khalifa Shrugged podcast. Discover the delightful symphony of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham every Friday. Indulge in fresh baked flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade and classic loaves, or perfect for Shabbat. Try the Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life. For a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order easily via WhatsApp on 076-108-0085 and taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary.